him for a mission.
The snap. Winston sells the play action fake again. Looks sideline. Bay route toward the corner of the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans takes it over the shoulder.
This is Monday's Buccaneers Total Access.
Fire the cannons.
Where each week we feature a different Buccaneers player. Brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. Here's your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Welcome into Buccaneers Total Access with Doug Martin. Doug, first of all, it is so good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, how excited were you to just step foot in the building? I mean, I could tell the team was thrilled to have you back. And, I mean, Gerald's over there picking you up in a bear hug in the locker room when you walked in and everything. What was that like to see the reception that you got?
It was good. It was definitely heartwarming. I got there early, so not everybody was there. But as everybody started to trickle in and everybody was very happy to see me. I was happy to see them. I missed everybody. I got a lot of hugs and high fives and, things of that nature. And it was just good to be back.
That's awesome. And everyone talked about how not only what you bring on the field, which we'll get to shortly here, but just what you bring even in the locker room and around the building, that you're always smiling and happy and just this great presence around here. Was that cool for you to hear the way they value you, not just on the field, but who you are in the locker room?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I hear I smile a lot.
Wait, were you unaware of this?
I mean, people tell me, why do you smile all the time? Like, why not? Like,
yeah.
Life is good.
Life is good. I love that.
I'm glad that, they like to have me around them, and I'm glad to be around them as well. So I'm just happy to be back.
That's awesome. And obviously the outcome of the game was not what you guys had hoped for, but for you personally, being able to come back, I mean, it had to be as close to what you would hope for you in your return. I mean, we'll go with one touchdown, but I'd like to call it two, since you technically had to do it twice. So for you, how would you rate your performance coming back, and especially compared to maybe how you had thought it would go?
My performance, I wish I could have a couple passes back, I could have caught. Overall, I think I did okay. I put myself to a high, standard, and I think I could have did a little better. But coming back from 4 weeks, I think I did okay. These next few weeks, getting ready for the game, I'm going to get more ready, do some more conditioning, get on the jugs, just get ready for the Arizona Cardinals.
You had talked about how everyone was calling you Mr. Fresh Legs.
Yeah.
But it had also been a month since contact for you. So there was sort of this, fresh versus rusty, debate happening. Yeah. Wondering what it was going to be like. Which one of those did you feel like it was more of?
The question was?
Fresh legs versus rusty here.
I definitely had fresh legs coming in. Coming back on a short week was, sucked because, we weren't in pads. Game was Sunday, so we were in on Monday, and it was, walkthrough and then regular speed practice, and then we did a jog through practice.
My first
contact was the game. But it was surprising how quickly it comes back, and the speed of the game wasn't, as fast as I thought it would be coming back from, 4 weeks. But I did pretty well. But I definitely did have fresh legs.
And you seemed obviously fired up to be out there. Was there extra juice having been out for a little bit for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely was. Just being out in the stadium and just hearing the fans and just being in that element and just taking in all the atmosphere of the game and just being there, and it was definitely a good feeling.
I know you're a superhero guy, and I heard some people calling you Hulk after you did the touchdown, that you hulked out after, especially in your celebration. How do you feel about that?
Hulked out? I like it. That's actually my dad's favorite superhero.
There you go. I like it.
So it all works. It works.
So walk us through the touchdown and how that went and what your thoughts were when you heard that you hadn't quite got in, you were going to have to try it again.
It was unfortunate. I thought I made it the first time, but obviously my knee was down at the one. We had to go back and, do it again. And, I was very determined to get in there. As you saw, I had to go over the top, I love kind of going over the top, and, I made it. I thought they called it the first time. I broke the plane the first time, and I had to stretch it out again to make sure. But I guess they called it on that one. I'm not really sure, but, we made the touchdown.
Yeah, that was your other superhero moment, the Superman flying over the defensive line. And we actually had a question from a fan. Michael wanted to know, how does it feel being the shortest guy out there to fly over the tallest guys out there?
No, it feels good. It feels good. I'm 5'10", you know, maybe 5'9.5". 5'9.5". All right, 5'9.5".
Hey, we'll round up. That's fine.
But, yeah, it's definitely, you know, I played a lot of basketball growing up. That was my first sport. You know, my dad played basketball, and, you know, that's where I got my hops from, really. You know, and that's where I got my big legs from, was playing basketball when I was younger.
That's awesome. How do you feel like that really, if you hadn't played basketball, do you feel like you'd be the running back you are now?
That's a good question. Because I did develop a lot of my explosiveness from, you know, playing basketball. You know, they put me at center. I wasn't even the tallest guy, but they put me at center because I could rebound. I jumped so high because I could rebound.
Wait a minute. When was this that you were center?
This is like, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade.
Okay. And so, like, how tall were you then? Compared to the other people?
I was about like, I don't even remember, like 5'5", maybe. I wasn't the tallest.
Yeah, so I was jump balling.
I had to do the jump ball. I wasn't the tallest guy on the team, and I was doing the jump ball.
Because of those hops,
so,
man.
Yeah, because of those hops.
Well, no wonder Coach knew he could call that play for you then, you know? He knew that you had those hops.
Yeah.
So I know that, you know, the offense, I know you guys, several of you talked in the locker room after the game about how the defense had played such an incredible game, and you guys were, you know, sad that you couldn't put up a few more points to kind of reward their efforts. And what was it about that game that really just kept seeming like missed opportunity seems to be the phrase everyone is using about it. Is that how it felt to you guys out there?
Yeah, just missed opportunities. You know, I just think as offense, we just need to execute better, more efficiently. You know, we need to catch, you know, about like our routine catches. You know, I had a couple of drops, and there was a few other drops on our side, but it just comes down to just executing, man. It starts with practice, and that's definitely what we took from this last game, and, you know, we're going to take that into consideration and work on everything that we need to work on for and get ready for the Arizona Cardinals.
And all offseason, everybody was talking about, you know, all the new offensive weapons that had been added over the offseason. This was your first, you know, real regular season game to be out there with all of those guys. How would you say the chemistry is coming along with the different options and what this offense could be? If, you know, where do you feel like you guys are in terms of the potential you could reach and what you've seen so far?
Yeah, we're getting there. You know, we're still gelling with Jameis and Jackson and getting OJ in there in the mix as well. And, you know, we have a lot of potential and, you know, we're getting there. And like I said, it comes to practice and comes down to practice and how we execute during practice and then converting that to the game.
For people who maybe don't understand, why is it a process I think people assume you add a new player and it will just automatically work and everyone will know exactly what's going on. Why is it maybe a little bit more of a process offensively when you have new pieces that you're needing to put in play?
You know, like you say that we get a new receiver, that he needs no time. It's a timing thing between the quarterback and the receiver. You know, as well, you know, OJ, you know, just the routes and just timing, but that comes with, you know, like I said, practice, OTAs, he worked on a lot, and you only get so many plays, and then, you know, it comes game time, and, you know, that's when the playmakers make the play, so yeah.
So going into Arizona, and, you know, you guys had that short week this last week, how do you feel like this could maybe be the perfect time for you coming back, for the offense in general, having these extra couple of days off and preparing for that Arizona game instead of being so worried about, you know, this short game and the hurricane and everything that had happened? It feels like the team was almost a little bit frantic and having to prepare backwards recently. So now getting to have that breather before Arizona, how big do you think this is for you guys as an offense?
Yeah, that's good. It's kind of like a mini bye, you know. It's kind of like a mini bye. You know, for anybody who's dinged up to get healthy again and, you know, to refocus, let go of the Patriots game and just focus on the Cardinals. I'm actually excited to play for the Cardinals because that's the game that, you know, my hamstring gave out on me. And so I'm pretty excited to, looking forward to playing them.
This is a little revenge game for you then. Get out there and show what you can really do. And yeah. What is the key to letting go of a game like this against the Patriots? That there were so many times it felt like you guys could win. So is that almost a more frustrating way to lose, knowing that you could have, should have won maybe, or as compared to, you know, getting blown out, or what would you say is more difficult to let go after it's over?
You know, like you said, we could have won, should have won. And it's definitely more frustrating when you had so many opportunities to win the game And I got to say that's a little more frustrating, but you got to let it go. You know, we did some good things. It wasn't all bad. We did some good things, but the things that we need to work on, we are going to work on, and get ready for the Cardinals.
You know, Jameis was very open about the fact that him getting to meet and talk to Tom Brady was a huge deal to him, playing on the same field as him.
Yeah.
Do you have guys like that in the NFL that you maybe watched in the past, or you have some reason to be almost not quite starstruck, but you think of them like, wow, like I'm out here with this guy. I'm on the same caliber and playing field as this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Adrian Peterson. I've been to the Pro Bowl with him twice. Yeah, I got kind of a little starstruck when I first entered the league, and you know, seeing all these players and things of that nature. And it's definitely, you know, just to see who the people who inspired you, and then you're on the same field is, you know, quite, you know, it's a good feeling. You know what I mean? So
that's awesome. Yeah. We still have a ton more time here with Doug Martin. This is Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Don't go anywhere. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access continues, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage. Once again, your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Doug Martin. All right, Doug, we got some fun questions from fans here we want to get to. All right, this seems like a lot of pressure for this question here. Kelsey says, my boyfriend won't propose until the Bucs win a Super Bowl. How do you feel about that? That's her question for you. It sounds like she's basically telling you, my whole proposal here is riding on you guys.
Is riding on us?
Yep.
Oh, well, you know, I have very good feelings about this season. You know, I hope, you know, that we do get to the playoffs and do play the Super Bowl. And, be patient.
Be patient. All right. And, I mean, This one is probably your most asked question, I would bet, from fans.
Yeah.
He wants to know, what do you want your nickname to be?
I knew it was the nickname. I knew it.
I didn't even have to ask the question. You would have known. Okay, so obviously there's the Muscle Hamster. There's Doug or Not. Are there other options, too?
I've heard some other things, and, you know, I keep seeing Doug or Not. I don't see Muscle Hamster anymore.
But, hint.
hint. But I don't know. The kids like that for some reason.
Kids, first of all, you are not old enough to be saying things like the kids.
But yeah, I go through the nickname thing every year, and you know, it's whatever. But I like the Doug or Not. I can't choose my own nickname. It's whoever feels what, you know.
But we can suggest they maybe call you that.
Yeah.
So do you really do like the Doug or Not? Like, that's the thing that you fired up about?
I like that.
Is there anything else? If you could pick your nickname, is there one that you would go with instead? Anything the guys in the locker room call you, or any other options you've ever had?
Nothing come to mind right now. No.
All right.
My friend came up with a nickname. He said somebody called me like the I don't know, Mega Man Martin or or something. I'm not really sure.
That's pretty great. In other words, it needs to be
Mega Man Martin. Yeah,
Mega Man Martin.
I don't know. That sounds like a mouthful.
Yeah,
it's a mouthful.
That's true. That one wouldn't really roll off the tongue. Okay, so Donovan Smith, that had come out recently, had never seen The Lion King. And from you just shook your head. For people who can't see him, he is looking disgusted at this concept. So, obviously, you think this is a problem.
It is a problem.
And from what I know about you, you are quite a fan of Lion King. Is that fair?
I am. It's not my favorite Disney movie, but I take a lot from. I've seen Lion King. I've seen Lion King 2. Lion King, it's like 1.5. I think it's a Timon and Pumbaa story. Yeah,
in other words, you're such a fan, you've seen the ones that most people don't even know exist.
Yeah, nobody even knows who's Lion King, too. I mean, come on now. But yeah, definitely. I don't know how we need to have like a group watching and watch Lion King.
A viewing party. And so tell people about some of these pets that you've had. And this is part of why I knew what a Lion King fan you are. Tell us about your pets.
All right. Well, I had a boa constrictor back in college. I named her Kiara. And I had a Savannah cat, and I named him Kovu. And Kovu is a nephew of Scar, And Kovu ends up marrying Simba's daughter, who is Kiara, which Cat and Snake. But yeah, that's where I got the names from. But that's where I got my inspiration from, the names.
The names are great.
King.
The relationship idea does not sound ideal. The
no,
cat and the bug.
I don't know who would win that one.
Or maybe this is the new Disney plot, you know, for some movie about a snake and a cat that fall in love. So I love you named your pets Lion King names, and even in like the true like African name mm-hmm. of it, which is pretty awesome.
Kovu, yeah. Kovu means scar in Swahili.
I love that.
Not sure what Kiara means.
And these pets are very random. Like, it's not like, oh, I have a dog. Like, boa constrictor, and not even just, again, cat. Like,
I love exotic animals.
Yeah, where did this come from? Where did
like,
this
I don't know. I just can't get a come on. If I get a regular cat, it's like Doug has a cat, right? I'm not just going to get a regular cat. And I had to get something like a hybrid or like a bobcat mixed with something
that sounds manly.
Something, yeah, like that. But yeah, he was actually a dog. He played fetch and everything, and he was getting all types of stuff. I had to baby proof my house.
That's amazing. So you've already learned about the parenthood thing here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That was like a little introduction into parenthood, and I am not ready yet.
I was about to say, you lost the cat.
No, he ran away.
Oh, okay.
He ran away.
Okay, it's his fault, not yours.
It's actually the person's fault who left the door open's fault.
Which is not you.
Which is not
me. Okay, so we'll at least give you the pass here. But yeah, when you lose the pet that's your trial run for being a parent, I think it's definitely a sign that you're not
quite a half wild animal, so you know, I can't
blame
him.
Which sounds about like a child, so it sounds accurate. And also that person, whoever it is, doesn't get to babysit someday you have kids. I think that's the moral of the story here. Okay, so speaking of nicknames, I bet this is the other thing you get asked all the time. Teach me how to Dougie. This gets played, obviously, all the time whenever you do something good on the field.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of this? Are you over this? What are your thoughts?
I'm fine with it. They've been playing that since I got here.
Yeah, so you
I don't think it's going to stop, but I like it.
Okay, cool.
I like it.
And you are obviously known to be a dancer, and I don't know if people understand how well known your moves are in that locker room.
Yeah, I got a little moves. You don't see it on the field too much, you know. But
which, why is that? Come on, now we got the release, like the rules about the celebration. Like, come on,
I need to be just engulfed with music.
engulfed
with music, and you know that's when you'll probably see me, you know, bust the moves. So you know,
well, we did see a little bit of it on Hard Knocks, which admittedly was, I think, literally my favorite moment on the entire show was you moonwalking and sweeping the poor rookies off of the stage.
Yeah, the Sandman job is when somebody comes up and they have a horrible performance. The Sandman's job is to kick them off and sit them back in their seat.
Yes, and you did a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
You get this job?
I kind of just volunteered for it. And before me, it was Dakota Watson. Dakota, he was a player that was here previously, and he did it. And it was, I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll.
So this is a tradition.
I guess I'll pick it up. Might as well.
Yeah, you seem to thoroughly enjoy it. I'm not going to lie. There was a pretty big smile on your face as
you
got to kick them
off. Running out of dance moves, though. I'm running out of moves, so I got to come up with something next year, but we'll see.
That's pretty great. I like that. when you were a rookie, what did you sing?
What did I sing? I sang Contagious by the Isley Brothers.
And you didn't get swept off?
When he opens the door, you know, what the hell is going on between the sheets?
Oh, you know? Look at this. Who knew that we were going to get a performance here?
I did not get booed off.
That's the key.
Not, yes.
Did you get cheered?
I got cheered.
Okay. Because it seems like there
I
is
sang
kind
along.
Of
they sang along with me.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the key.
You got to sing your song that everybody can sing along to. And
that's the key. So who was your favorite performance this year?
Oh, who was my favorite performance? There was a few. Riley had an interesting song. He had his own little twist too. I forgot what it was.
But yeah, his was pretty phenomenal. Everybody was a big fan of that.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
And so if there was anybody on this team, do you think there's anyone who could rival your dancing skills if we had a dancing competition?
Poppy Gerald.
Gerald?
Me and Gerald are like, we him in comics. I always hate on him every time he does something comic related. Like he met Stan Lee and he sent it to me, and I texted him back. I was like, that's a nice little wax figure that you got there, a little life size wax. Which wax museum is this? I'm just hating on him, but yeah, I think I know Jerry. He got some moves, but I don't know who else got moves.
So you and Gerald in a dance-off. Is it, like, even?
Dead even.
Is it
I don't think it's even because I could do some breakdancing moves that
he's a little big for.
He's very incapable of doing, I think. I don't think he could do them.
This is where you being a little lighter on your feet as a running back comes in handy. The size advantage of it. So were you a little, don't lie, you were a little jealous that he got to meet Stan Lee, since I know you're such a big comic book fan too, right?
He went to the wax museum.
You will not admit he actually met him.
I am a little jealous.
Yep. We won't tell Gerald, don't worry. We'll tell
him.
He already knows. Yeah, and you guys debate this all the time, right? Like, you two are the ones in the locker room that are, like, the big, like, comic book, I won't say nerds, but just fans.
It's fans, yeah. There's a lot of geeks in the locker room, you know. Let's not get around with geeks. There's a lot of us in there, and we like to discuss all comic books and anime and all that. I'm an anime fan as well.
Yeah, so, okay.
I'm more of an anime fan than I think I am a comic book fan.
Okay, so who all is on the geek squad here in the locker room?
Ooh, let's see. Me, Kevin Pamphile.
Oh, okay.
Gerald, of course. Vern, he's not Werner, but Vern, he's not on the team anymore. We used to talk about it all the time. Ooh,
Lynch or
Cam Brady? Lynch.
Oh, Lynch, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Cam Lynch, definitely. There's a lot of us in there.
Wow, I think that it's
guy stuff. Guy
stuff, yeah, sure.
Guys wouldn't understand.
Anime, totally guy stuff. That's amazing. All right, we also had a question from Dan. He wanted to know where your number 22 came from and if it had anything to do with Emmett Smith.
My first number ever was 20, and it was in high school. I was like, let me get the 20. And then the reason why, I don't even know how I got the 22. I think because I moved up, somebody else had 20, so I was like, let me get the 22. It's probably because, you know, Emmett Smith. I watched like Emmett and Barry and like LT growing up.
I just watched Thomas,
Walter Payton. I watched all of them growing up. I just, you know, let me get the 22. I like how it looked.
Yeah,
it looked like the
match number there. So, yeah. Did you have one player in particular that you really idolized as a kid? Was it Adrian Peterson, or was it one of those others that was a little bit before him?
Walter Payton. He was a beast. You cannot bring him down.
Yeah,
yeah. I was. I enjoyed watching videos on him growing up. Definitely.
Did you have anybody that you've modeled your game after, or is it
modeled
just
my game
you?
Exactly? No, I just. Not really. I just try to pick, you know, things that pick. I try to pick things from different, you know, different players and things I could do. I don't know. Just try to mash them all together. I try.
The best of all the different worlds
exactly.
there. Well, so exactly. What are some of the things that you want to replicate from different guys? Like if you had to try and build your perfect.
Okay. Yeah. So Walter Payton, his relentlessness to go down I try to, I can't say that I'm exactly like Barry Sanders or Ethan Clough, but try to just be as shifty as he is, as elusive, but I'm more of like a physical, you know, yak yards, you know, so definitely, you know, Walter Payton. So I guess the guy who I've been watching or I like watching. So, yeah.
So is your dream play that happens something where you get hit pretty close to the line of scrimmage, but then you turn it into something big that you're able mm-hmm. to get a bunch of yak.
Yeah,
is that like your dream?
Just somebody doesn't go down on the first contact, you know? So that's something that definitely is in my game.
That's always your goal. So for you, if you could only have one jersey on your wall, this is a question from Kevin that I love. One jersey on your wall, who would it be? Any sport, doesn't even have to be football, any sport, any individual athlete, one jersey on your wall.
Payton.
Yeah?
Yep.
Wait, which, it's Walter Payton. I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure we don't assume this.
Yeah, Walter Payton.
That's pretty great. I like that. And we also had one from Mike who said, if you wanted to play another position on the team, if they told you could play anything on the team, what would you play?
How tall am I?
You're whatever you want to be. You get to all of a sudden design yourself like a video game character and whatever you want to be.
Ooh, probably like a DN.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. DN.
You want to be like a pass rush guy?
Pass rush guy.
Yeah?
Yep.
So what would your, if you had to, if you were building yourself, ideal size that you would want to be for that?
Shoot, about like 6'10". About 330. 4% body fat.
So glad we're going with reasonable, totally reasonable ideas here. That's amazing.
It's very reasonable.
That's pretty phenomenal. All right, and if you could play any other sport professionally, what would it be?
Well, I thought I was going to the NBA when I was younger. Like, I wrote it down, actually, of going to the NBA.
No way, like in a little journal?
A little journal. Like, I'm hoping to get an A, and if I don't, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to live in a mansion. I'm going to have a whole bunch of animals like Michael Jackson. That's what I wrote down.
That's incredible. Well, you fulfilled some of those things.
Some of those things. Yeah. You'd be surprised what you write down, which comes true. You know, write your dreams down, people.
There you go. Doug's lesson of the day.
Write your dreams down. I stopped playing basketball my freshman year. I made the team. That's when I first started playing football. After football season, it was basketball season. I made the team, and I was just worn out. It was different. Everybody was taller than me. I was like, why is everybody taller? And I just, you know, I put basketball to bed. And yeah, that's, what was the question? Where is this going?
It was if you could play any sport professionally, but
okay.
I like your tangents better anyway.
It was basketball.
You're talking like you run. You know, you're shifty like that. You never know which direction it's going to go.
Exactly.
All right. Justin had a great question. He said, it's a little bit of a two-parter. The first one he said is, how did it feel to get back on the field in a regular season game, that first moment when you walked out on the field?
It felt really, really good. I felt like I was home. Everybody, you know, cheering and everybody welcomed me back. Welcome back, Doug. And just the applause and, it just felt great. And, scoring the touchdown and hearing everybody, just scream, and it was just an awesome feeling.
And then his second part of it was, has this experience changed your mindset at all, or do you feel like you are running with a greater purpose?
I'm feeling like, I definitely have a chip on my shoulder. I've been through a hell of a journey, and, I just want to, like I said, have a chip on my shoulder, and I'm just, I'm running my butt off this year, and, to my teammates, coaching staff, the fans, and, but first myself, so.
That's awesome. All right, we're about at the midway point here. Buccaneers Total Access with Doug Martin. Plenty left here. This is brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Don't go anywhere. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Now more on Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Doug Martin. We are still getting to tons of fan questions and other thoughts with him. I love this one. Corey asked, who has the better Michael Jackson dance move, your moonwalk?
Me.
Well, but you didn't even hear the other option.
Okay, my bad.
Which something tells me it doesn't matter what I tell you, you're going to say me. But at least hear the other option.
Okay.
Because then it seems like...
Shot the gun there.
Okay, so your moonwalk on Hard Knocks or Ryan Smith's smooth criminal lean last year on that special teams play.
Moonwalk trumps all.
There we go. So now it at least seems like a reasonable answer now that you heard the other option.
Yeah, but it wasn't a game, so I guess the importance of the move was the lean.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Game situation. Versus just pure dance
but
quality.
But the dance. He didn't. Bus, he fell. He fell. Michael Jackson didn't fall on his lean.
Okay. That's true. That's a very good point. So if you could do any dance move as like your celebration in the end zone, what are you doing?
It's a good one. It's a good one. I guess the cliche thing would say, the Dougie.
Yeah.
Which
have we ever even actually seen you do the Dougie? Like is there video of this?
I did it. I think I did it like a long time ago when the song was hot.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've done it. I might bring it back.
We should.
I might bring it back.
just right here. This is where the idea came from. Buccaneers Radio. This is where it comes from.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Scott wants to know, what have you learned about yourself and about life from your recent experience?
About life?
Getting deep here.
Getting real deep. Just that, you just gotta, there's consequences to, your actions, and, gotta man up and, face the hard times, and, and when you're feeling low, and, when you're in those low times, just keep your head up, and, be around people who are trying to keep you up, and, just push through it, and just deal with adversity. It's definitely been I definitely had to deal with adversity, and right now I'm here on the other side and moving forward.
I like this question. It looked like you were hitting the holes in full running stride last night. What was it that made that possible?
I guess, it was when I was on break, I was working out. I was over in Irvine, and the facility called Proactive is where I usually train when I'm in California, and they did a good job. We had a good training regimen, and, it definitely paid off.
And how hard is that to try and replicate, like, football shape when you're not playing in a game?
It's very hard. It's a little difficult because you can't simulate, like, a real true game. And, I did feel that. I did feel a little, going into the game. Well, not going to the game, but the more the game went on, I could feel myself like, yeah, I've been out for 4 weeks.
Oh, this is what it feels like to get hit by a 300-pound man.
Yeah, exactly. It's very hard to simulate, hits and all that stuff. But, but I'm going to continue to get better and get more football shape as time goes on. So yeah.
We've got another Hard Knocks-related question coming up. Everybody always loved you in Hard Knocks. You were just the little Hard Knocks darling there. Which, did you ever even watch it? Did you ever get a chance to watch them?
I did.
You did finally see it.
I didn't watch it when it actually aired. I watched it they had a Hard Knocks marathon. I just watched them all. I think there's like six episodes. I don't know. Four episodes.
Was that weird to see yourself in that way? Like, that's sort of a unique way.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't too bad. I enjoyed it. It was entertaining.
I like that. All right. So our question about it was, can you ride a non-electric longboard? Everybody saw you on the electric one, and I think they're wondering, how legit this actually is here.
No. I will fall hard.
Well, then don't do that.
Electric skateboard. I got that from, I was in Boise State, and I had to get to the dorms. Everybody had scooters. People had bikes. But no, I had to be different.
Of course.
So I looked online. I was looking for electric rollerblades. I was like, I got to take them off and put it on. And then I found electric skateboard. And so I rode the electric skateboard on the back way of, of the campus. And that's how I got to and from the football facility to my classes. But the thing weighed 60 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
It weighed 60 pounds. But the ones I have now, they only weigh 15. So that would be nice to have back then. But yeah, that's where I got started riding an electric skateboard.
Yeah. So the Cali boy in you had to rock the skateboard look.
Yeah. That's where I originally from, I think. I don't want to say anything.
That's pretty great. So in looking at, for you, obviously, as a running back, the O-line is such a huge part of what you're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked a few of the O-linemen about if it mattered who they were blocking for, whether it was you back there, or Quiz, or anybody else, if that changed what they did. And they were like, nope, we block, we do our schemes.
Mm-hmm.
For you, they've shuffled around a little bit this year, and now Allie's at center, and it's a little bit of a different line.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think about who's up there in front of you and where that might mean the holes are, or they block different ways? Is that a thing that you think about?
As a running back and with the linemen, they're going to block their guys, and we have our rules and they have their rules. And our inside zone, we have to open step, crossover, press the we got an aiming point, the inside leg of the tackle, and just things like that. And then they have their rules as well. So it doesn't matter who's back there, who's blocking. We might have some strengths on either side, and we might run to that direction. But you know, we just have rules and stuff like that.
Yeah, and how you feel like, you know, watching them, and you got a chance to watch them in a few games before mm-hmm. you were back. What have you seen from them so far, and how impressed you've been with the way that they have been able to swap out and shuffle mm-hmm. a little bit?
Yeah, they've done a great job, and you know, with Ali moving to center, and he's done an awesome job as well, and Sweezy coming back is doing well, and I love, you know, all their competitive spirit, you know, competitive nature across the line, and they're really gelling pretty well together.
Yeah, and you mentioned Sweezy, that a lot of people have loved, that he's gotten the reputation of being like the mean guy on the uh-huh. line, that he's like...
he's not mean at all. I mean, on the line, he'll knock you down, but, you know, he's definitely a sweet guy, so...
Which I love that, to hear you call him a sweet guy. I think that's... fans, I think, think that's so funny. Like, you guys are only who you are on the field, and then, like, you must be that way at all times.
Oh, yeah, we all have different egos. I mean, different... I'm trying to say
personality.
Right, personalities. Yeah. Yeah, we got the normal life personality. We got the war dog fight personality as well. So.
Which, it's so funny because, again, you talked about how everybody always mentions that you're always smiling and everything. And then mm-hmm. to think that you are that kind of running back that will just go like, I mean, you'll run headlong into it and you'll run mm-hmm. it over people.
Yeah.
How do you turn that switch on and off?
How they trying to switch? I don't know. I don't think it's more of a, I think it's like a, I don't know. It's just a game time when you're in the, when you're in there in the element, when you're about to take the handoff, is just, you know, you just got to get it. You just got to go get it, you know, so.
Are you out there smiling while you're running?
No. I was smiling yesterday after the touchdown, but just because I was so happy to be back with everybody and scoring, but no, I'm not, no. I'll be... That would be weird. I don't think I could do that.
I mean, it might fake a linebacker out. You might want to try it. You'd be like, what is wrong with this guy?
I might actually try that one time. I'm going to, like, smile and take the hand off while I'm smiling. And I'm going to see how that works.
I really hope that we catch that on video to see how that looks. That would be phenomenal. Please alert us to what game that's going to be and what quarter, potentially, so we can be ready by this. Uh-huh. I love it. All right. And I know you probably hear this all the time, too. We had a question from Robbie. How much... do you think about putting up fantasy points for the people who own you in fantasy football?
Fantasy. You know, the points come, they don't. You know, I'm just going to go out there and do my job and play to the best of my ability. You know, if the points, if you get the points, you get the points. You know, but I don't go out of my way and you know, I don't follow fantasy football. So yeah.
Do you have, like, friends and family, people who will draft you purposefully and tell you that?
Yes.
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 And what do you say?
I have a group of friends who talk about fantasy, and I'm like, so on this topic, other topic.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you would enjoy fantasy, like, just to play it if you weren't involved? Like, if you weren't actually...
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure.
You've just, like, it's too personal now about you,
yeah,
and you're like, I can't handle this?
Yeah. That's, something like that.
Does it surprise you how much people are into it?
Kinda, yeah. It's like, what's the big deal? Do people make money off of it?
I mean, some people do. Yeah. I know I don't. I know that I never did
it's
well
just
enough.
The satisfaction of winning, like, you
yeah,
know,
I think it's an ego thing for a lot of people. They play with their group of friends, and it becomes about an ego and a status and a pride thing.
Oh yes,
which is important.
Ego.
So we also had a question. Did you have a favorite moment of Hard Knocks that was not you? That was about somebody else on the team that when you saw it, you thought it was really awesome.
Jameis at his house, and he was looking at he, and with the cockroaches. that was pretty funny.
You enjoyed that?
That was funny.
That's pretty great. I enjoy that. All right, so we saw a little bit about the longboarding, maybe. We've heard a little bit about your pets. What are some of the other things that you like to do outside of football? That if it's, you know, you've got your off day, they followed some of the players around on their off days, you mm-hmm. know, for you outside, you know, we saw you longboarding.
Yeah.
But what else? What makes up Doug Martin off the field?
No, they'll probably catch me at a few movies. I love movies. Probably just catch me, you know, hanging out with my friends and, you know, having a dinner, just joking around. And, what other things do I like to do? Chill.
Chill.
Take care of my house.
And there's that Cali guy in you.
Yeah.
I like that.
Chill, dude.
Just chilling. That's pretty great. All right, we had a
go
question.
Go to the beach, yeah. Play volleyball. Yeah, play volleyball, beach volleyball is pretty fun.
Oh, yeah. I bet you, with your hops, I bet you're amazing at that.
Yeah, people don't like when I play.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, if I ever go play, you'd better be on my team.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have any pregame routines, and are you, like, superstitious at all?
I'm not superstitious. If I was superstitious, then I'd be like, I was born on Friday the 13th, January Friday the 13th. So it's like,
no way.
It's like, if I was superstitious, then I'm just bad luck.
you yourself are bad luck.
But
I would not have asked you to be on this radio show if I knew this. This is terrible.
But I just listen to music, go out, do my stretches, my stretch routine, make sure I'm loose and get a massage. Get stressed out, all that.
You get a massage right before the game?
Yeah. Hamstrings, yeah. Just make sure they're loose.
I feel like I would be asleep.
Oh, yeah. I definitely fall asleep.
So then you got to get, like, revved up again before the game now.
Yeah, you get revved up quick, though. But, yeah, I just listen to a lot of music.
That's definitely pretty awesome. That's how you get ready. All right, we still have one more segment here on Buccaneers Total Access with Doug Martin. This is brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Don't go anywhere. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in, Buccaneers Total Access with Doug Martin. This is it, our final segment here. All right, so going in Arizona, you talked a little bit earlier in the show about how this was the game that you got hurt last year, and so left a little bit of that bitter taste in your mouth, want to go back out there and prove yourself. Is that a thing that you'll think about on the field?
Not on the field, maybe going into the field. Like right now, yeah, I did, you know, kind of tweak my hamstring, and then that set off a whole chain of stuff. But, I definitely like to, you know, have a good game.
Yeah, and I remember that was the one game last year that I think the team was just like, oh my gosh, what happened? It just felt like it was the one big, you know, blowout of the year, and it left everyone, you know, the team had just beat Arizona, you know, on the road, and then it just, like, what happened?
That game, I believe, has definitely left a grain of salt in everybody's mouth here, because it was definitely a game that we lost control of. So to go back there and play a great game and leave with a W would be awesome.
And what do you remember about that game, and then what's similar or different about Arizona now to know what you're going to need to do differently this time?
What we do, you know, what we need to do in every game. We need to execute, play good defense. The defense is doing awesome. So if they just keep doing the things that they're doing now during that game, we'll be great. But the offense needs to execute, and we need to score more points than they score, and just fire on all cylinders, receivers, running backs, tight ends, linemen, quarterback, everybody.
Everybody all together. What is it about, you know, it's easy to say, I think, on offense about we need to get 7 instead of 3 or, you know, these certain things that are missed, but it's a whole lot easier said than done.
Definitely.
So what are some of the little things that can take that from being just an idea to a reality, you think, from looking at maybe Thursday night's game, some tangible stuff that'll need to change, you know, that on the offensive side of things?
Tangible stuff? What do you mean? Just like, just...
So what are
what
the
we
big...
need to do to get the 7 points instead of the 3 points?
Yeah, just what are the big things that you think will really take you to that next level that you guys are saying you know you're capable of?
No, it's just the mentality. Just mentality that we need to we need to get in the end zone. Need our playmakers to make plays, and like I said, we need everybody to be, you know, not can't be perfect, but we need everybody to do their job. Everybody do their job on a more consistent basis.
And for you, looking at the game, obviously, you know, Arizona is known to be a pretty loud stadium whenever they're enclosed like that, and in the dome it can get pretty loud. And I know, obviously, communication for you guys on the road is always key. What are the areas of that tend to be, you know, so important for you guys, and how to make sure that just because it's a loud environment, you guys aren't missing some of those cues, none of those false start penalties, things like that.
Yeah, they definitely do have a loud stadium, and communication is definitely key in anybody's offense. And, you know, we have things to prepare for that. We'll have crowd noise while we practice, and yeah, we just need to. We will just need going into that game. We just know that we need to make sure that we're communicating.
How do you feel about y'all's, you know, running back core? I think that you guys have such a unique group of guys that all have very different skills. And one of my favorite parts of Hard Knocks was seeing Peyton Barber talk about, oh yeah, last year as a rookie, I made that mistake, and seeing that he obviously knows the ways he's grown. So take us through the whole running back group and what you've seen from them this year and what you guys are as a complete unit.
Oh yeah, we have a great running back core. You know, shout out Quiz, Chuck, Peyton. We have a great, we're all tight. And you're talking about Peyton. He was making those rookie mistakes as well. And, you know, we all try to help each, we all help each other out. Nobody's holding anything back. And we all want everybody to do good. And, yesterday, you know, we had a whole group did pretty well. And
what do you feel like each one of them brings to this team when you've been watching them and when you're not out there? Like, tell us a little bit about, you know, why each of those guys really plays an integral part in that unit.
You got Chuck. He's the shifty, elusive guy, you know, shaky in a phone booth. And, Peyton, he's definitely, you know, he's our biggest back, you know, but he's very explosive as well. And, for his size, Quiz can do anything. Well, he's definitely a great player, and we're glad to have him. And,
what do you think is going to be a goal that you have for your unit against Arizona, that if you guys do X, this will probably mean that the offense is doing what it needs to do, and especially for you guys in the run game? Do you have tangible goals of, like, numbers that you try to hit or stats for you guys of yards or time of possession, things like that?
Oh, yeah, we definitely have, you know, we do have goals going into the game as an offense. And as an offense, we have, I believe it's 125 yards, about 4.55 yards a carry, about that. So we definitely have those goals and, they're definitely reachable. But, you know, everybody on the team, all 11 guys have to execute. You know,
what'll be a successful game for you besides just getting the win, that for you personally to feel like you did what you needed to do to help the team get the W?
Just my job, run the rock. When the puck comes to me, you know, catch it. When a defender is trying to tackle the quarterback, block him. So, you know, doing those on a more consistent basis.
And you talked about how fired up you were for that last game. And are you thinking that you're going to be able to replicate that again this next game when it may not have quite the same emotional pull of your first game back? Do you think that's that type of intensity is something you'll be able to replicate?
Oh, definitely. This is a important season for me. And, I'm going to go out there and just, you know, play for, you know, my brothers on the field and show everybody what I'm capable of.
And if you score a touchdown, are we maybe going to see the Dougie?
We might see the Dougie. We'll see.
And maybe some Michael Jackson moves.
It's hard to do them in walking cleats.
That's true. That's how we know you'd be really good at it. That's pretty awesome. And maybe we'll see you smiling on that one carry. I'm trying to get these promises here.
If I remember.
I think you probably have a few other things to think about during the game.
Yeah, that
seems fair. Well, Doug, thank you so much for joining us. This has been awesome, and we appreciate all of you being with us as well. This has been Buccaneers Total Access with Doug Martin, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access has been brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. This is 620 WDAE St. Petersburg and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.